Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger.
Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced Part 2 tonight of an earlier episode. We did White Bread Graham Cracker or Black Man, and this is Part 2. Earlier episode, we had our guest in, our co-host, the one and only man, Dr. D. So we're continuing the conversation tonight. And we have our associate producer with us, Ms. Demasty with us, and the one and only our future commentator, Brother Isaiah. How y'all doing this evening?
Part two, let's
Hey,
what's up, y'all?
Okay. Yeah, all right.
I got my cup of coffee.
Yes, because, you know, we do try to do the best that we can, you know, it's because this is a grassroots platform. And also, too, our air date once again is September 20th, 2018. I'm coming to you from San Joaquin County, California, Shabaka Sankara, the host and executive producer, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, the one and only man, Dr. D, our producer, and Demasty Love, our associate producer. So if I recall, on our last episode earlier this evening, we were talking about building businesses, which is a commercial infrastructure of which you need to go into. Then we need to check out the various vital industries that we should invest businesses off into, such as grocery stores, such as healthcare. you know, essentials as opposed to luxuries, you see, because stuff like, you know, records, laptops, things like that, see, that's like a luxury, but we all need shelter, clothes, food, you know, medical attention and medical care, you know, to advance properly. And then also, too, you know, as Marcus Garvey said, you know, we want our own everything, you know, economical infrastructure, commercial infrastructure, political infrastructure, and educational infrastructure, is because, you know, as we send our children, you know, to these inner city public schools, it appears more and more that they're just being groomed to go and off into the penitentiary system, particularly the young black males. You see, it's pretty much with this social engineering, if you pay close attention to, of how they pretty much to eliminate the positive black male image. You see, that is the thing. They always want to, you know, show us in these films and video rap music and things of that nature. They're, you know, always being degrading and self-loathing and what have you. But what it is we got to bring ourselves back up. So, of course, with the white bread, Eurocentric-minded Negroes, you know, what we discussed about earlier with her about, you know, totally elimination and trying to be a carbon copy of the oppressor. Of course, then you got the graham cracker, you know, your Tom or Coon or whatever that you call him. And then, of course, you know, you got the righteous brother who's trying to do the right thing, and he has all these obstacles thrown up against him economically, socially, and politically and what have you, is because, you know, he is viewed as a threat. But however, as long as black males are projecting the image of hating on each other, betraying one another, degrading themselves, degrading, you know, the whole race and whatnot, you know, then mainstream media goes up here and props up this imagery, you say. And then, as you can see, the lowest person in American social order or a group of people that they have low regard for is the black male. They basically show us getting murdered by the police on social media now, you say. But, you know, never trying to show us, you know, in positive lights. And then, of course, these those in the limelight or the whatever you want to call it, black elite or whatnot, or upper black class or whatever, you know, they pretty much, you know, don't want to have nothing or turn their back on, you know, on the community as a whole. The classic case here is what's going on here in the National Football League, with Colin Kaepernick has started. Then the NFL, you know, over time progressed with this. They could put in these rules and regulations. You must stand for the national anthem to be out there on the field and things of this nature. But then you had those who still protested. And from what I understand, that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, the National Football League, you know, had pretty much says, you know, that they're not going through with those rules too much anymore. But what we have to look at is that the economical power is there on group economics, and which should be taken full advantage of if 70% of the player personnel in the NFL are black, you see. And then, like I said, we do recognize the great sacrifice they make also, too, of all the what they endure to get to the position, you know, to be a professional athlete. But however, supposedly, you know, if you have freedom of speech here, and what Kaepernick did in the beginning, you know, starting 2 years ago, roughly. And then, you know, he's no longer the quarterback for the 49ers, and then he's been pretty much ostracized from being, you know, recruited by other NFL teams. But however, he's making a social impact, you see, and he's pretty much making a dynamic social impact, you know, probably the first time in more than 50 years.
Right.
When Muhammad Ali had stood up and he had refused to go to the war in Vietnam in 1967. Yeah, exactly. And so with this here being said, and then, of course, you know, with the current political situation that's going on, and then you had these graham crackers, you know, who worked with Trump, you know, your Dr. Ben Carson, what have
you. Somebody he threw out in the yard. That's a sin and a shame. She on the comeback. She can forget about me.
I know, right. She's trying to get her black card back, but
her
it's not going to work. Yeah, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, pretty much. But once again, and this is what we've always said here, you know.
That's a sin and a shame. She's lucky that thing ain't lent her ass on the White House lawn.
You know, it's bad.
Dumbass.
So she put herself in that position. So, sure.
Well, pretty much, you know, once again, you know, that mentality of pretty much trying to, quote unquote, you know, get in with the mainstream. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Willie Lynch syndrome. You know, seriously, mentally. You know, that stuff been putting our DNA, man, off them plantation systems, man, for well over 275 years. And, of course,
generations. Yeah, it's crazy.
And then it's been getting progressively worse in the last two and a half generations that I've witnessed in my lifetime. You say, is because it's pretty much is that the melanated community, you know, has got all this divisiveness going on within.
Yeah.
But it also has to look at of all the external situations that it's got from these other groups. And then to mention the fact is that, you know, the image of the black male today is pretty much that, a cat with a bunch of tattoos, you know, making money, hustling, or whatever, but not.
I only got two tattoos, so.
Yeah, but still,
I know what you're talking about. They show all the cats going in and out of jail.
Mm-hmm. All the ones, you know, who are out there, you know, hustling, you know, living a life of crime, things of this, as opposed
to
those who are out there trying to.
That's because they're being set up. From the beginning.
Yep, that's right.
The neighborhoods, the black neighborhoods were set up. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I know.
So drugs and the trash cans for them to pick up, weapons. Get out of here.
They put us in the hood.
Yes, they did. And they threw every damn drug you can name.
That's right. They send their race soldiers to arrest us for hustling.
Yeah.
That was pretty much,
you know, exactly, to get them incarcerated, massive incarceration, you say, yeah, and they need to check up on that, or, you know, get some type of, like I said, and I can't emphasize it enough, you know, the commercial infrastructure back and the educational infrastructure back. And the way to, in my opinion, to get to the educational structure of it is got to get our black youth about these public indoctrination centers and pretty much have them off in coursework, you know, like some of the Marcus Garvey schools, from what I understand, such as what Marva Collins did back there in Chicago. And having our children, you know, learning things from Afrocentric perspective. So therefore, they would have, you know, a better sense of feeling for themselves and a sense of worthiness, you know, as opposed to, you know, all the negativity that you got going on. You see,
right?
And you got to get the commercial and infrastructure back together. You see, to get capital and revenue circulating in the community for reinvestment. For community reinvestment.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing about
so
that. All that money will be
that?
Going to them. Do you understand? All
yeah,
that money
it.
Will
well,
be going to them. They
well,
will be handling the finances. So,
right.
Who's going to step up? Who's going to study? And who's going to
mm-hmm.
take those positions?
Okay, well, as you were saying on the previous show, Sister Demacia, by doing some, I'm just paraphrasing you, but doing some innovation, you know, for businesses and entrepreneurial ventures is because
okay.
to make these businesses
who's
gonna operate.
Who's
going to
head that up? Who's going to head that up
okay.
from state to state?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like I
you
said, you just simply
people.
Have to go. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Well, you know, research
got
the people,
to
you know,
and,
it has to be put
resources.
Together.
We have some people where I'm ready.
Okay, well, what you could do that I have seen out here on the West Coast, you know, you got quite a few community organizations I saw down there in Los Angeles and a few up there in the Bay where they would have the, you know,
okay.
the classes or mini classes or tutoring classes where they will show you how to start, you know, a basic business, you know, like a sole proprietorship and what have you. Then they will show you how to start a business, you know, like from a corporate perspective. Then, of course, you know, you always have 501c3s, you see. And
okay.
then, but we got to get,
okay.
you know, we also have got to get some industry that we control too. Now, I cannot emphasize this here
yeah.
enough here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced is because every day I'm looking at all these containers coming through the Golden Gate Bridge and Frisco Bay. You see, bringing all that damn silicon
yeah.
in here that they get up at the Chinese
that
getting above
up
out
say,
of
I'm tired of seeing all those. I'm tired of seeing all those goddamn Wongongos shipping up on the sea. I've been
exactly.
seeing them like on the internet. I'd be like, are they serious? Like Japan. Go ahead, bro.
Okay, no, but what I was saying though is that all those cargo container ships and things like that, see, that's commerce. That's, you know, international mm-hmm. geopolitics. They say
but that's
geo-economics.
What the Chinese sending up here. Everybody's sending
well,
shit up here.
Yeah. Okay, well,
man.
From what I understand and from the research I've been doing in the last few days is that you got the Chinese there pretty much in Central Africa. From what I understand, the Russians are going in there. Then Obama doing his presidency, put the U.S. military there, you know, in various nations in Africa, like Ghana, from what I understand.
They're holding the people down over there in Ghana.
Say,
I remember that.
Okay, so once again, you know, for the minerals and the resource.
And
you know, just like
all.
How they had used us as a resource on the plantation system.
Yep.
See what I mean?
Ain't nothing changed.
Nothing
well,
changed at all.
Sophisticated.
Those invaders, colonizers, this one other African resources. I don't know why some Africans are giving them their resources to them. They need to stop that.
They don't have no other choice. That's the military. They will kill if they can't get what they want.
Right.
Well, if you look down through the history of Africa, you know, when there were the nations there, from what I understand, in the 1950s and 1960s, you know, they were breaking away from, like, the Belgians, the French, the British, the Dutch, the Germans, things of that nature right there. And a lot of the nations had wound up what they call colonial debt, where they would still have to, you know, keep paying, you know, the European powers,
right.
you
mm-hmm.
see, you know, through currency, commerce, what have you. The same thing with the minerals as
like
well,
it
too.
Is. Let's
sold.
Just tell it like it
yeah,
is.
No, that's
some,
it. No,
those,
what I'm just saying is
no, I know, but I'm just saying, let's just tell it like it is. Those some Europeans are greedy. They want wealth and power
oh, yeah.
for themselves.
Oh, yeah. And the core resources of where they're getting us with diamonds, gold, cobalt, tungsten.
They want all that African diamonds and riches, and they want to take it back to Europe to sell it.
But that's what they've been doing. You see, that's just it, though. I said, you say that's what they've been doing. You know what I mean? They've been doing it, man.
Right.
You know, for the last few centuries. You see?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And at the same token, though, is that there is no commerce, you know, dealing with the so-called, you know, African American and with the brother there on a continent in Africa or in the diaspora. You see, now I believe that this is one of the principles of which Garvey was thinking of stressing, you know, in his era, about we got to have the commerce, you know, within the diaspora to build us up economically. You see, but there's so much damage, you know, that was done to us due to what the doctor Marimba and he referred to as the Maafa, the disaster beyond description, you know, that is so bad, it's beyond description. But we see that we are prevailing, and it's essential that we do prevail. And, you know, on top of that, you know, we just try to brainstorm here a little bit here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to you from Central California this evening, part two of White Bread, Graham Cracker, or Black Man, part two, September 20th, 2018. And for those of you out there listening on the net, please give us a call here at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on air. But as we continue our conversation here, is with the mindset of the breaking down, you know, when we was brought over here, you know, as the slaves from generation to generation, you know, degraded, and then, you know, coming through post-slavery or the post-Civil War, you know, going through with the Jim Crow era on that. Then, as you had mentioned, Sister DeMacy, a while back about, you know, what they did with the Black Wall Street. And the thing is about these Black Wall Streets, because Tulsa, Oklahoma is where they had it. But you also, too, had black commerce, you know, in various other cities as well, too. You know, and I believe Baltimore and Chicago were two of them.
The same thing happened to them?
Yeah, well, what you had with up there pretty much up in the northern part at that time when you had the Great Migration, a lot of these trade unions would discriminate, you know, against black tradesmen like the iron workers, like the painters, plasterers, carpenters, you know, things like that, cement finishers. You see, you know, plumbing contractors, things of that nature right there. And so, therefore, so when a man cannot go out there and make his money, his prevailing money off of said trade, you know, which is pretty much what is the average of the market rate of, you know, of what they're paying somebody in that trade, depending on what level that he had at it. You see, in other words, basically what we're talking about here is making a living. And then you have so many of our people, like I said, homeless out here from what I see out here on the West Coast that I've seen before.
Out here on
you
the
know,
East Coast?
Roughly.
Yeah, I'll be seeing them. I was giving handouts. Like, well, we got spare change. We got a spare dime or something like all that.
But also, too, Isaiah, what they do out here is that they're living in tents, you know, all along the street.
Yeah.
And I believe there was something out there on social media dealing with that, showing it down there in Los Angeles, I believe, over there in the, what would they call that there, near the produce district, near over there toward the eastern part of downtown by the L.A. River. And they got like three or four rows of people on the sidewalk living in tents. At first, it was only One sister, bro. Now you got two sisters. Now you got three and four. That just goes to show you just how rapidly it has increased homeless people there due to gentrification up out of here. And of, you know, these rich folks, you know, grabbing this property for a cheap price, then renovating it, you see, and making it elaborate and whatnot. You see, and you see a lot of that out here in Oakland and San Francisco, particularly, you know, with the gentrification out here, you know, that all the money it is that they are making about Silicon Valley. You see, it's because, you know, it's billions and trillion-dollar industries that you have over there.
You told us about about every companies down there. You say you've seen Pandora up there.
Oh yeah, you got
seen,
you got Pandora. Okay, wait a minute. See, I'm gonna tell you all. Okay, all right. Pandora is over there in Oakland, California. Okay, and it's on a street called Webster. You know, posh building, and then Ask.com is a few blocks, you know, further on down the way. You know, real tall, posh building. They're building another one on it. And they are building a lot of commercial property here, you see, behind the
advertisements. Okay,
well, all the internet companies, you know, that you see, you know, well over 50%, you know, come from, you know, the Bay Area out of San Francisco, Oakland area. See, all that there is what they call Silicon Valley. Oh, yeah. It's because Twitter there on Market Street, 10th and Market Street. You take your ass over there across the street, you know, across the street from Twitter, and you got people strung out, man, sleeping in the street, you know, all that old type of bullshit. You see what I'm saying?
You tell me
Keep in mind is that when you go towards the port of San Francisco, you passing through San Francisco's financial district, and all these office buildings that have sprang up there in the last 25, 30 years, they're all posh. You know, Apple's got nice buildings over there. Let's see, some of the podcast shows is headed over there. And stuff like that, man. I think YouTube is in San Bruno, California, which is just south of San Francisco, you see. When you're taking the highway going south, going towards San Jose, you know, San Jose, they call San Jose the capital of Silicon Valley. See, and that
San Jose?
That's
Spanish. Isn't it near Mexico
No,
or Saint Joseph?
Said, yeah, it means Saint San Jose means Saint Joseph.
Now the Spanish have what?
It means Saint Joseph.
Did they make any contribution?
Well, like I told you, when the Spaniards came in the 1700s, you know, when the conquistadors came in the late 1500s, I believe, in the 1600s.
Okay,
they were the Spaniards. Okay.
Okay.
So then, financially, of course, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, was a major influence in Spain, and they had a lot of these missions that they'll put all up and down the state of California. And generally, when you hear these cities like Santa Maria, San Jose, San Luis Obispo, and what have you, that they got Catholic churches there, is because I think in the 1770s, the Spaniards had this Catholic priest that walked all the way from San Diego, California, up there to San Jose, setting up all these missions and Catholic churches and what have you.
How far are they away from California? Where's the border?
California is bordered on the west.
West.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
when you go west, Okay, the next state west of California is Hawaii. Everything is blue between California and Hawaii, okay? That's west,
mm-hmm.
on the western border.
Mm-hmm.
On the southwest is bordered by Arizona. And
mm-hmm.
I believe it's separated by the Colorado River. Now, all the way straight
mm-hmm.
to the south, to San Diego and what have you, takes you to the top of Mexico.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, then 795 miles north mm-hmm. takes you all the way to the Oregon state line.
Mm-hmm.
That's north, which is way at the top of the San Joaquin Valley, or top of Redding, California, and then you're in the Shasta National Forest, and then you dawn up there. Once you pass Mount Shasta, you're about less than 100 miles from the Oregon state line.
Thinking about the Spaniards, how close and how easy it was for them to get over here and do their thing.
Soon, I know,
well,
right? They probably swim.
Well, you see, you have to understand.
Exactly, Isaiah.
Yeah, they probably swim. They have boats. So
yeah,
they
ran across the
Pacific River.
That's right.
No, the Spaniards. Okay, see, the Spaniards and had went down into the Caribbean, and then they went all through South America and Mexico and what have you. And I believe that California, Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, parts of Utah, parts of Texas were part of Mexico at one time. And then
You're kidding me.
El Paso, Texas. El Paso, Texas, you go to Mexico, right?
Right.
That's
deep.
And then you got the states of New Mexico and Arizona,
mm-hmm.
which is between Texas and California.
Wow.
And all that is desert.
It's a small world
all Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada,
mm-hmm.
you see, the eastern parts and southern parts of California, you know. But as we going on here, continuing our conversation, is that we, you know, got to have knowledge for ourselves so we can go up here and make proper decisions intellectually, commercially, and educationally, you know, as we, you know, school our youth to get.
We have to do that.
However, in this day of information, is that I put up there on one of our advertisements, and it was a picture of Ask.com, the headquarters up there, they're building in Oakland, California.
Oh, yeah, you did say something about that.
This day of information, you know, see, in this era of information, you know, ignorance, man, is pretty much a choice now, because, you know, if you need information, you can pretty much get it. But then, of course, you always have to consider the source of the information as well, too.
All them white companies, man.
without a doubt.
All them damn white companies, and they don't want to. Give us nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
that's real
bad. That's why that we need our own companies. We need our own. We need our own banks. Everything.
The only way to achieve this is that you have got to have the educational systems for our youth, you know, centered, you know, for their advancement, as opposed to going out here producing for someone else's advancement on a collective basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I did see a digital thing up here on social media, you know, by Dr. Umar Johnson, where he was emphasizing that there as well, too. And particularly in regard to the black male's image, not only in the U.S., but throughout the whole African diaspora as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, there's no regard for him whatsoever. Okay, but however, you know, but your graham cracker, you know, he'll go up there and tell you, well, you know, just do the best you can and what have you, by all means, which you should, you know what I mean? Okay, number one. But it's systemically against us, as we said, economically, particularly, you know, in job markets, educational markets, housing markets, what have you. And then also, too, in addition to having access to capital, is because, as I stated there, about the amount of homeless black men. So
right.
It's safe to assume in that situation there that each one of those brothers out there, you see, their credit is pretty much shot. You see?
Yeah.
And then if there's some of those brothers out there who's got their credit and banking information, you know, in order, more power to you. Now, the reason why we're emphasizing on the banks is because, see, this is where you go to get your capital for your investment. This is also, too, you know, where you save your revenue, thus in turn, you know, creating more jobs that way as well, too, and also, too, and allowing businesses, you know, to acquire its revenue for expansion as well. And I think Dr. Boyce Watkins, you know, he gives some very, very great lectures on that as well, too, him and Dr. Claude Anderson. It's because when I'm looking out here in California with all this social media money out here, every other group of people out here, man, is prospering real good off this social media shit. And that's no bullshit.
Really?
Man,
how?
Cat.
How so?
Hell yeah.
How so, please? How so that you know of?
Oh, absolutely. Education-wise, job-wise, commercial-wise, buying power-wise, is because, you know, this is how they're buying all these cell phones, nice vehicles, fancy-ass apartments, paying these high-ass rents off
you
these gentrified properties.
You mean people that work for, I don't understand. I'm kind of lost.
No.
People that work
for social media? No, I'm talking about people
media?
Who work, no. Yeah, in the industry,
not people
social media
for,
over here.
People
oh,
in
yes.
the industry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. People in the industry
oh, yes.
got
yes,
all
definitely.
That.
You mean the people that
Ohio.
Work for
okay,
social
no.
media is what you're saying?
What I'm saying is those, okay, those that work in the social media industry, okay, rather regardless of what the name is or what have you, you know, you got nice career professionals who do it that I see in my travels here, you know, going back and forth interacting. Okay, they're doing quite well, you know, as far as having buying power, as far as, you know, having promising careers, you know, acquiring enough capital to innovate, you see. In short, it's booming.
Wow.
They're making so much money off this shit out here, it's stupid. But they got this systematic wage. Okay, see, they got this systematic wage. Of keeping certain elements of the population, you know, from benefiting from this wealth. I mean, you see an extreme difference between the haves and the have-nots here.
Well, that's been forever.
Right.
Since they came, popped up out the cave.
Okay, well, what I'm
are
talking
you listening
about,
to
just,
me? No,
oh, yeah.
No, it's still the same situation. I what are you? What's different from what I
okay,
said?
Okay,
and now,
with,
ain't nothing
right,
different.
What I mean
they
is,
are the same. They are the
okay. No, but
same,
what I mean
some cave
is,
people come out the cave. Just want to run shit. And that's all that is.
And they did it. And now it's a success. And our ancestors are dead. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they still have the stronghold. Let's talk
right.
about that.
Okay. The way how they got the stronghold is off of the power that they have acquired and amassing off of social media money out here on the West Coast. Is what I'm saying. And
social media money.
Yeah, social media money.
What is that for? From advertising?
Yeah, basically.
All of it. From all the social
that
media.
And what?
Or the
and stealing the silicon from Africa.
They're getting the silicon, you know, off the continent of Africa, which is the raw material and the related materials. Okay, and the related materials that are involved in the production, you know, of your digital equipment, your digital products, you know, your computers, laptops, desktops, cell phones. You see, the common denominator of all of it, you know, is
silicon. That's why they sent the military over there. Okay,
pretty much. And then, of course, you see, from what I'm seeing off here in mainstream news, is that the Chinese is over there in Central Africa right there, or the Congo. Then also, going into South Africa to get the diamonds and other raw materials that are still there.
It's bad enough those Neanderthals.
But the military
over there.
Letting them do it. They the bodyguards.
Pretty much, you see. And then, as we know, they make it a point to kill any type of kinship, you know, for Africans in the diaspora, you know, to have any type of connection or any type of commonality.
That's what I was saying. Like, they're trying to take away our African resources away from us.
They've been doing that. That's why they over there.
Right. Until you know it, every nation gonna go to Africa and wipe our African roots out. We're not going to have no more motherland.
They're already there doing that. All of them, except for our own people. We can't even go over there and get $5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder how they feel. I wonder how the Africans feel about that. It seems to me like they ignore it.
I would wish some of them that take a stand and trying to get them out of there. But
you have a lot of corruption going on, you know, over in there, because I got an unconfirmed report out of social media. Well, that's what I'm about to tell
you. You think they're getting paid?
The vice president of a nation called Equatorial Guinea, has allegedly been arrested in Brazil over jewelry and money over like about $25 million. And
so he took some stuff over there trying to sell it?
He's basically, you know, taking revenue about the nation of Equatorial Guinea. You see what I mean? And living lavishly over there in Brazil.
And he's living in Brazil?
Well, from what I understand, he's been arrested in Brazil, but, you know, he had quite a bit.
Transferring the goods. And got
And had a great deal of jewelry, diamonds, about another $25-30 million. You see that he was.
But the white people don't get arrested for stealing. So was this a brother that went to Brazil with the shit?
He was the vice president of the African nation of Equatorial Guinea.
But whiteys don't get busted. Wow, that's deep.
Wow. Yeah, that's some bullshit.
That's some deep shit.
That just goes to show you
that the white people can do it, but the black ain't. Are you listening?
Well, pretty much,
it shows you. Yeah, it really do. Like, it shows you they can't get away with anything.
There you go.
Are you serious?
And I
wonder
why.
I'm sick of tired.
We don't know why. That's what it is. We don't know.
Okay. Well, see, but once again, I'm getting back to this.
Having their way.
What? Okay,
for real.
Getting back to the white. Okay.
Getting back to what?
Getting back to white bread, graham cracker, or black man part two, and what we're doing right here on Shabaka's Black.
Well, we already said that
right
half
here.
Part one and part and half of part two.
Yeah, we're on part two now. Okay. All right. Now, going over to political infrastructures of like education.
Same situation.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, because see, education is political. You see what I mean?
That is true. We do have something to say to that. And what
okay,
we can do.
Like, everything is political nowadays.
Right, but in the inner cities, or when it comes predominantly to our youth, you know, when they go through this, you see, they're in the substandard conditions, crowded conditions, you know.
The same shit we went through.
Shit. Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. Nothing
are you listening
changed.
To
see,
me?
Yes, I'm listening to you. And then, but see, there's no progress from that. And then from what I've witnessed, that these other groups of people come here to the U.S. in less than 30 and 40 years, got their children educated and started businesses and what have you, and had their sense of cohesiveness.
How do you suppose they do that?
Because they had a sense of unity and cohesiveness, sticking together. We don't have
and they
that.
Teach them themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a universal law and principle from like these other groups of people here that come from Asia and what have you and start making money off these
they
stores
teach
out
their
here.
Own children,
starting their,
but black people just take them to the public schools. Black children, the only ones go to public schools.
No, black children are not the only ones that go to public schools.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So what are you saying?
But I'm sure what I'm saying is that in their culture, regardless if the children are growing up here or not, is because you got second and third generations of them coming here, growing up here in Silicon Valley, in the Bay Area, what have you, making that money into the mainstream American system, what have you.
And the school systems that these people use.
Okay, they go to the government indoctrination centers, okay, the public school system, right?
Right.
Except the difference between those children and black children is that they have traditions and customs to their original culture, to whereas the black child or the
common
black child.
Well, we ain't got
none.
They killed all ours. Like the fire back.
Okay, homeschooling our youth, emphasizing like what Marvin Collins did a little bit in Chicago.
Okay, so the parents got to go to school and study. So we got to go to the white indoctrination systems to get the permission to homeschool the children. So what do we have
now,
to do?
Well, that too. Okay, what I do know is that you got to go through some type of process with the state, you know, with the school system.
If we do
try
to
still got to go through Whitey. We still got to go through Whitey.
I was about to say, like, if we do try to homeschool our youth, you know, they trying to arrest the parents who do that. All of a sudden it's against the law to homeschool our children.
Wait a minute.
I do know.
Go ahead, Isaiah. Where?
Well, I just look it up. Like I do my resources. Like if we do try to homeschool like our kids, it's against the law. Because like I said, full queen, like you need permission to do that. Like I don't know why. Like all of a sudden.
Do you know what you have to do to? How do you qualify for them to give you permission to homeschool?
I didn't hear that, queen, but that's the day. I don't know why. Like tell you the truth though, we should still be able to homeschool our kids without permission. Like, come on, like all of a sudden now we need permission to homeschool our kids nowadays. Like there's only on certain states that you have to qualify if you want to homeschool your kids now. But now it's against the law for doing that.
What? I'm going to look that up, Isaiah. What? I'm in shock.
Yeah.
What?
I was like,
God. What kind of shit is that? Against the law?
Yeah.
How did you find that out? Please tell me how you found that out.
Right now, I don't have my computer with me, but and you know, okay, because this is really, really agitating. Like I just be just looking at it.
I'ma look that up. I ain't never heard nothing like that before. You understand?
Something, right?
Yeah. No, but
like,
I did hear about that there in New York State is that there was this
Wait a minute, Isaiah. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Okay,
is that
okay.
There
please
was a parent
ahead,
who took
somebody.
A child who took a child up out of the public school system in Buffalo, New York, had filed all the proper paperwork with the state authorities to let the school board know and the state education system know that she would be homeschooling her child. She allegedly got approval to do it. Once she started doing it, when her child did not go to the public indoctrination center for, I think it was about after 30 days, they start, you know, hitting the parent and the child with truancy and stuff like that. She has gotten charged with child neglect, failing to send her kids to school and what have you. And she had filled out all the proper paperwork to homeschool her child. So they're right
and did
there
she
just
present
to
that?
Show you.
Wait a minute. Did she present that paperwork? Apparently they didn't
have
it.
No, I honestly believe what it is just like what Isaiah said. They don't want us to go out there and homeschool our youth, so they go up there and
I can believe
all
that, but if the child did the proper paperwork, I don't understand.
They don't care about the paperwork. That, too. They don't care about the paperwork.
They don't care about the paperwork through the government.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No, in other words, what it is.
Kid, I can't believe that shit. These people that fucking stupid and nasty.
I
don't believe none of that. I'm going to look
you
that shit up for myself.
And I believe it was in Buffalo, New York. So, you know, you don't have to take our word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. You know, by all means, and I tell all our listeners, do your own research.
I'm going
research,
to definitely
you know?
Do that. I have never heard that before in my entire life.
Queen.
It's about a year old. Yeah. And hopefully that she will go ahead and prevail and go ahead and sue the shit about the state behind that.
Right, I hope so too. Because
part of the map did this happen again?
From what I understand, it was in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, Buffalo, New York. Trying to get some papers and trying to see if she can homeschool her kids. But you know how that goes. They don't care about
I don't. That don't make sense to me. What just happened? It, y'all say it just happened. That don't make sense to me. Don't they have homeschooling? Don't other parents around here homeschool their children?
I'm quite sure that they do, but it appears, you know, based off of information that I've come across, and like I said, anybody can go ahead and do their own research, and if you got knowledge, give us a call at 646-564-9630 and drop knowledge here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to your air date September 20th, 2018. But,
so this was a one-time thing? So this was a one-time thing.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, from what I understand,
I think it's more than one.
There's a few of them, actually. It's pretty much is that it looks like when the black parents want to do the homeschooling, they put together these extra set of obstacles, you know, that they have to overcome. you see.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then you could see that these, with this technology business and science and robotic engineering and whatnot, a lot of these other groups are definitely having their children getting educated in the mathematics and the sciences and what have you out here, you know, for the Silicon Valley industry, you see. And what we got to do is start doing the same thing for ourselves, is because very, very few of us are in that industry that work off in it, you see. Yeah, from what I see out here.
Oh, yeah. That's no question about that. Them people want to rule
and
the
then,
world, period.
And then, other groups of people, and then the other groups of people who benefited, you know, from working over there in Silicon Valley and what have you, bringing in all that wealth and capital into themselves, they're acquiring land out here as a lot. You see, houses, apartment buildings, commercial property. You see what I mean? Another thing, but another thing that I see, and I think they're from Asia. But they're not Orientals, okay, I don't know what they are. But anyway, they buy up all the motels, all these raggedy-ass motels.
Oh, really?
In the neighborhood. Oh, yeah. Renovating that shit, improving it or whatnot, and charging $100
a
night.
You know what I cannot stand? Right.
Well,
you know,
we're a little
stand.
Late because all the drama we went through back in slavery. We're a little late.
Okay,
so I'm
but
not
also
shocked.
To you.
Right.
Okay,
you know what I cannot
too.
Stand? I cannot stand gentrification because all those foreigners are moving out here in the hood. it's crazy.
Exactly. and those who used to live in those places that they gentrified, now they're living out there, like in Los Angeles in the fucking
And they're
street.
Trying to move us out, too. They're trying to move us out of the hood, like, and where we gonna go? If we do decide to buy if we do get ourselves like a nice house, they always question you like, are you buying or are you renting? Like, ain't that a bit? So that's crazy.
Yeah, very much so. But like I said, from what I see out here, you know, in the wild, wild west, it's through that industry right there is where we need to have our youth, you know, get some knowledge and education and get some benefits there, you know, from there as well, too.
That's crazy.
Really. But however, you know, as I said here, you know, with our title tonight, you know, it just goes to show the different mindset that you have right there that also, too, that impedes our progress as well. Because a lot of the obstacles, you know, are self-inflicted, you know, with these white bread Negroes, these graham cracker-ass Negroes. You see what I mean?
Yeah, they are too much for me.
Yeah, you see. I mean,
they
always
want to talk us down. Yeah, they always want to talk us down, and they think they are so better than us. And every time we talk to the truth to them, they act like, no, man, they ain't right. They ain't all bad and all that.
Oh
so
my God,
like,
that's throw up talk.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the part right
and
there.
And I'm like. And I'm like, and how do y'all know, they ain't that bad? Like, come on now, I want you to look around you, and look at how we live, and look at how they live.
But at the same token, though, Isaiah, is that, you know, is that the educational systems here, like I said, for our youth, you see, that there is the beginning of the self-destruction right there. It's a, you know, all in the inner city schools and what have you, you know, grooming the kids, you know, to be going in and out of jail and what have you, as opposed to being productive, is because they took out teaching all the trades, from what I understand, in various school systems throughout the nation. You know, the, where you had auto mechanic shops, you know, carpentry shops, sheet metal shops. You see,
this dude had after school program. Now all of a sudden they cut back on that, and they cut that down, because I didn't remember when I was going to school they did have some of that, but now they just
they took all the funding away from that. Mm-hmm. And put the funding into jails and this type of shit. And then, of course, you know, with this constant thing called inflation, where they're constantly, you know, upping prices. And they're not upping salaries or sources of income. You see, this is where, you know, you start going into a deficit, you know, where bank accounts start going into the negative, you see. So this is the more main reason, in addition to why we got to pool our economical resources, you see what I'm saying, which is the four factors of production of land, labor, capital, and risk management, which is the innovation part that's coming up with the idea. And the way I'm saying is that I've always emphasized, and is what the crux of it is to have our youth, since they're the future, you know, to be trained for this, you know, at an early age. Because it's a universal law and principle that if people become self-sufficient.
Well,
so you look at everybody else, except us, and we're the main
ones. Children at our leisure.
Right, I understand.
Because we have to go out and make money. We can homeschool our children at our leisure. We can homeschool them on the weekends. We can help them on the weekdays. So that's a beginning right there.
Absolutely. That's planting
true.
Seed right there.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then eventually, if you become efficient enough, you know, be able to take them out the whole public educational institution is all together.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll be happy because they already know what to expect.
Right.
Right. You see?
And the kids,
right,
know what
they know
going.
God
and
knows what the people are teaching them in school. The same shit we went through.
And even worse, you see. From what I understand, what research that I've done on the educational curriculums, you know, in various parts of the U.S., in the inner cities, they're taking certain figures out of history in the school curriculums as well.
Oh,
too.
Really?
Right. Yeah,
that's
they are
real.
Doing that. They try
that's
to
real.
Take away the history books as well, too. Our
exactly.
History
and
books.
Even,
yeah.
Yeah, and then, too, in one southern state, from my understanding, they was doing the same thing with the history of slaves. We're just going to take it out of the history books. So, in other words, they emphasize more.
Yeah, they're doing
they
that.
Emphasizing more.
That they that they like
more dumbing down,
right.
Say, of
and
our
let
youth.
Them right, and they trying to let them know white so called history. Like, come on now, they trying to brainwash the kid, trying to brainwash our kids to
Though, Brother Isaiah, they've been doing that to our youth, man, you know, ever since, you know, when they started having our kids going to the public indoctrination centers, which I believe was shortly in the public school systems where they started about shortly doing a reconstruction there in the history of the United States, 1870s, 1880s. You know, stuff like that.
They've been doing that since I was in kindergarten.
Well, then they kept perpetuating generation after generation after generation. And since there's no cohesiveness within the black community, which is really have shattered, you know, in the last three generations that I've witnessed of, because the last
they
time that you had
Black History Month.
Right. It's only one month. Right, and it's only on one month. Right.
Okay, but you see, but
not
keep in mind, though. But
and
see,
also,
keep in mind, it's not,
and also,
it's not up to them
okay.
to give us the month. It's up to us to take the month off. You see what I'm saying? It's because, like,
at this time, yes. But when I was
like
growing up,
holidays.
We had one Black History Month, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it
and
was
I'm
February.
And
it's
still one, too. Yeah, and it's still one.
It used to be called,
still one.
Now, here's one for you. It used to be called Negro History Week, you see.
Stop playing.
It
talk
said
to
that.
Me.
Yeah, no, it did. It
let me
Negro
hear this.
History Week.
Let me hear about this. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead with that.
Okay. And then, let me see here, dude. I'm trying to think back. This is like the late 1960s when you had the Negro History Week. It's because 1968, 69 through 70 is where you had a lot of the pro-black era. It's you know, through the early 70s. And then what happened with that, then everybody started tripping off into the disco era and all that old type of shit.
Yeah.
And then this is when they had these quote-unquote crossover successes in the music, like the
don't
Bee Gees playing a soundtrack.
Don't get
or,
me started on them. Don't get me started
yeah,
on them.
You know, and then after that, the 80s that came along. Yeah,
and
then
know,
the 80s that came
hip-hop.
Along. Yeah, that came in the 80s, in the late 80s and
yeah.
in the 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, in the early 80s, they have hip-hop, but in the late 80s and 90s, they have gangster rap. I'm like, come on.
Okay, well, see, well, I remember in the early 80s is where, you know, they had the introduction
yeah,
of the rap about 82, 83, 84,
right.
you see. Okay, and then you had, you know, the drug epidemic, you know, throughout
right,
the black community, 80s and 90s
yeah.
and stuff like that. That took a lot of revenue out the black
out
community. Plus that,
families out,
mass
yeah, they trying to pick up the black
yeah.
family.
Mass,
right. mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. You know, the black family unit, a lot of the children
right.
going into foster
mm-hmm.
care, stuff
yeah.
like that, being raised by the state. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and they groomed, you know, for their own self destruction. So, you know,
yep.
you have, you know, no proper values, what have you, no proper morals and whatnot. You know.
That's right.
Because as I saw, one of the professors, someone had did an experiment, like they call them projects, right? And if you
yeah.
put, you know, living beings on top of each other, they did this here with rats. If you put them all
oh
close
gosh.
Together,
shut
and
up.
they
hold on,
and they put you on a small amount, you know, of food right there in it, and you know, leave them there on top of each other, crowded like that. Guess what they'll start doing?
Want to come with?
No, they'll start killing each other.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sad, man.
And this is, and
yeah.
this is what they do with these public housing projects. Why do you think they call them projects?
Right. Put it in
yeah, from
project.
The West Coast to the, yeah, from the
right.
West Coast to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Just East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, the South, sure.
Yeah, but if you got you some innovators, okay, it's like I passed through parts here, you know, and up in Contra Costa County, I believe, where you got a lot of rust bucket areas of old industrialized places, you know, that are abandoned and whatnot. And you have a lot of, you know, the homeless, you know, camped all along.
Right.
See, now you got, now that's the opportunity there for some innovators with some capital to go in there to create some jobs. You know, for those there
exactly.
in the community. But you would have to have the hookup of those who are creating the jobs to mainly to go get them, those out there that are homeless there in the streets like that. You know, a lot of that property could be used to temporarily house a lot of the homeless. You see?
Whoa.
So you would need an innovator to come up there with that, you know, to implement that. You see, that's called through the concept of cooperative economics, you see, because it's up to us to take care of us is what I'm saying. But there's so much division within the black community. You see what I mean? And
that's
a major hurdle to it. Yeah, big time, but also, too, in addition to. But the sad part about it is our very survival depends on our unification is currently what I'm getting to at this time in history.
Like I said, we need to start trusting each other. Like
okay, well,
like,
well let's look what happened.
Good brother.
Well, see, all we got is each other. Look what you had down there in Dallas where that brother got shot and killed in his apartment. Where the female cop went into his apartment and she said,
That was her boyfriend.
Hold on, and it was Queen?
Yes. They were dating.
There's some information.
I've been saying that a lot of times. You better watch out for them. Like, they don't have our back. They just want to kill us.
Good, brother. Well, like I said, you know, this is what you have going on with this current political fervor that you got going on. You know, old boy, who you got there in Washington, D.C., this whole regime. Is corrupt. He's corrupt. His cronies are corrupt.
Everything's corrupt.
Actually, it's downright fucked up. Yeah, you see.
Right. Everything's corrupt. Sure.
Yeah, right. So we're not going to go up there and regurgitate the shit that you hear on mainstream media about, these various individuals going to court back and forth, more indictments, you know, the Mueller investigation, this, that, there, the other, what's going on with Kavanaugh and all that, Jeff Sessions recusing himself from this here. Just say, now, it's very interesting about Jeff Sessions. If we want to, if we want to talk a little bit of about this right here, okay? The hypocrisy of this bullshit, but however, the graham cracker, you know, he would still have faith off in the system, but the way the black man to see it for what it is, as we've seen it for what it is, it's a bunch of collusionary, crooked-ass politicians that you got currently doing things there. Right. And the general public, sees through the smoke screen. But however, due to the backlash of this, this is even more so this time in history that all we got is each other, and we got to turn to each other for us to prevail at this time in history. You know, the way how I see it, this is just my opinion, you see. You know, from what I've seen over the last 50 years is because I would have to say, that in the last 50 years, we as a people have regressed 100 years. Now, that's incredible.
Right.
However, it's all this negative influences of what you got, you know, in the community, GMO foods, you know, mental illness that affects the community, the mindset that affects the community, the glorification of self-destruction, you see? You know, in this day and age, you know, it's kind of like insanity is the norm.
That is the norm.
Right, and particularly in regards to us. And then they have us dummy down, perpetuating this BS, you know, from one generation to the next.
Yeah, like I said before, pass on generation to generation.
And that's what
really sickening. Yeah, it's sickness.
They give us 1 month. What's up with that?
Well,
because tell you the truth, they don't really care about our history for one. They want to be brainwashed and to play their game. It's like the game of chess.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Well, we're in it now. We're in the game. So what's up?
Okay.
I'm
well,
listening.
Like a we've emphasized earlier on the first episode is to start building some businesses and dealing with people of integrity. You see.
Tell me how to start doing that. Make contacts. What do you suggest?
Go out here.
I think
make contacts.
I can hear one person at a time. One person at a time, please, because I can't hear anything if both people are talking at the same time. I'm listening. Next.
Okay. Well, first of all, you have to get.
Shut up, Isaiah.
You're
going to make
bridges.
Me laugh.
Okay. Yeah, and it's called
Isaiah. Network. You're making me laugh. You cracking up, B.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So.
It's okay.
So
that's one aspect of it right there.
Okay.
Can you repeat
also,
that?
You got to look at. Okay, well, as I said, innovation. Okay, you got to sit out there and get innovative.
Okay, speak on that a little bit. Okay,
innovation is just coming up with ideas.
Who
are
we going to get innovative with? Just one, just me and you and Isaiah? How are we going to spread this throughout the communities?
Well, there's all types of ways to spread it out throughout the community. Hand out flyers, talk to people, go door to door.
Come on, there you go.
Sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, show up at public events.
Can you create
you know,
a flyer for us? And we'll, can you create a flyer for us? Because only
you can speak. Okay, well, just inbox me, you know, and see what we could do.
Okay.
Put something up on a drawing board. You see, that's, you know, what innovation is.
Break it down. And on our pages, too. We'll advertise it on our pages, too.
Yeah, all of that.
You know,
see,
on social media.
Then,
yeah.
Right. You see, another thing that we want to check out, you know, since we're down to our last 15 minutes, is once again, you know, we have to develop once again that sense of cohesiveness back.
This will be a start. Please.
Yep.
How are we going to develop it? Through telepathy? Please.
No.
Get him, Isaiah.
Okay.
Get him, Isaiah.
Okay, no, but from what I'm saying,
yeah, but they, like I said, and I hope they are listening because I'm sure we need, because I'm tired of talking. We need to do something.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's what I was about to say. Well, you know, you got various organizations out there like New Era Detroit, New Era Chicago that are doing positive things, you know, that I've seen, you know. Those who own these businesses, you know, mistreated members of the black community that patronized these businesses. And
wait a minute.
A black business
mistreated the black community.
No.
Is that what you just said?
No, I'm saying
please make it clear for
black me. Owned businesses
okay.
that operate
uh-huh.
within the black community. Have
uh-huh.
been mistreating and disrespecting and having a lot of controversy
what?
With black patrons and customers in said community.
Okay, do you have
so,
any more information?
So,
like why?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like why?
Okay, regardless of it, is that I just wanted to say is that there's a group there in New Era, Chicago. Has been going to these businesses that are not black-owned, that operate within the black
gotcha.
Community.
Oh,
and
I got
you. They have been,
oh,
and they have been, you know, asking members of the black community not to patronize
mm-hmm.
these businesses until they respect
oh,
us,
really?
Treat us right. But I say, you know, what they
what
need
now?
To do is after they get them up out of business or let the business go broke, go acquire the business itself afterwards, you see, you know, if the business
no,
goes
how about
on,
if we just start from ground up?
Why we got to take something from some white people? We ain't got to take nothing. All we got to do is pay for it.
Okay, well, that too. But the point is, what I'm saying is, as you put that one out,
we already know they treat us like garbage.
That's not what I was
trying to say. I don't want to go back over the same. Well, what was it? What is it that you were trying to say?
Okay, is that what you have to do is that you have to go in there to acquire and set up other industry along with it as well, too. It's because like a lot of the nail shops, from what I saw, I think there in the East where you guys are, is that there are a lot of black women, you know, by the way, you know, who's listed as the number one entrepreneur, you know, in the black community is the black women who are more successful entrepreneurs than black men are. Okay, has started a series of nail salons themselves, and they have taken in a lot of the businesses in the black community, you know, from the consumers, you know, which, of course, which are
Black women.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did you say?
Did you say
Chinese people open the nail salons and we patronize them? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah, we do that now, but there have been a series of black women who have been buying their own nail salons and taking business away from those Asian-owned businesses in the community.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we see that there.
I believe black nail shops.
Yeah, but I believe it was either somewhere in the Midwest or in the South, okay?
Okay, uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, and then you do have a few black-owned nail salon shops out here where I'm at, out here on the West Coast. But, however, you know, the majority of them, are owned, you know, by other than black folks, you see what I'm saying? Whereas, you know, black folks make up the main consumer of it. And this is the sense of what we got to get into. We got to get into our youth about the concept of economics, you see. Go ahead.
We as black people always have to work twice as hard as any other race. So I think those people get remarkable deals to open up shops here in the U.S.
I
think that's why so many of them in business now. They probably get them 501c3s right off the top. You understand what I'm saying? Just leave us behind.
Yep. They do.
They have to work twice as hard. Okay, well, I do know is that here on the West Coast is that shortly after the war in Vietnam in the late 70s and early 80s, there was a huge influx of Southeast Asians coming here, and they were getting set up in businesses and whatnot to live Okay, now you got a lot of people from India, Asia, you know, they come here, you know, open up the stores.
They get problems.
Don't remind me.
And I think when they come here, you know, they get all those government
benefits. Some convenience stores, you know, the gas station, convenience stores. How they get the money for all this?
You see, they come here with a certain status. You see. They're getting it from, Uncle Sam, you know. $1,000 go off into that. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, we're going to close this show on out because we're up here kind of late.
Yeah.
11:23 p.m. where I'm at.
True.
So I'm going to wish you all a good night. And we're going to listen to, you know.
And it's 2:23.
What? Okay, so we're. Yeah.
What?
He says 2:23 in the East.
2:23 in the East.
On the 21st, and it's 11.
Yeah, 2:23 in the morning in the East, and 11:23 down the West.
I just think I feel good. I don't even feel like it's like that. 11:24 I'll trade with
PM
you.
PM here.
Right.
Yeah, here in the West Coast. Here in the
Pacific time zone. Yep.
And you guys over there in the Eastern time zone. So you're at 2:24 tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I don't really feel like it's 2:24 around here.
Neither do I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's 11:24
okay.
here. Okay. All right, folks.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right. All right. Yeah. No,
well,
go out
good morning.
All right. Okay.